The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for December is a Christmas book for children ages 5 through 9. It's titled The Christmas Connection. You can find out more about this new Christmas Arch book at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Christmas Connection by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Your young children, grandchildren, and godchildren will discover the relationship between Jesus' birth and resurrection in The Christmas Connection. 1-800-325-3040. That's the Academy of Ancient Music with a portion of Handel's Messiah, singing there from the seventh verse of Isaiah 52, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Now, those verses actually get quoted in the New Testament, as well as in the classic Handel's Messiah. We're going to be talking about them, especially in the context of the church's preparation to hear the good news of great joy, which shall come to all people, about the birth of a Christ child to save the world from sin and death. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer joins us for our series, Christ in the Old Testament, looking at Isaiah 52. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and he's host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
It's great to be here, Todd.
Those verses that we heard there get quoted in the New Testament, if I'm not mistaken. In what manner are they quoted? How are they applied?
No, this is a great point. Whenever we look at the Old Testament, we want to see how the apostles themselves are using the Old Testament text to clearly teach that there's a continuity between the prophetic message and the apostolic message, and it's all centered in Christ. And so where we will find this is in the preaching of Saint Paul, specifically to the baptized in Rome in chapter 10. And there in chapter 10, he's talking about not only the apostolic message by the apostles themselves, but also the successors of the apostles, those who will be placed into this preaching office who will preach Christ.
So let's talk a little bit about the actual word here. It says good news, but could we just as well, it's kind of a New Testament word, but could we even in the Old Testament translate it as gospel? Who preaches the gospel? Who proclaims the gospel?
Well, this is a message in the Old Testament, of course, that is given when you have some kind of a victory. Then it becomes good news when, of course, the messenger proclaims that we've won the victory and the enemy has been defeated. This is kind of the use that you'll see throughout the Old Testament. But we specifically get this understanding of the evangel, the evangelist, and proclaiming this gospel from the Septuagint. When it's translated into the Greek, you take this Hebrew word basar, and you use this Greek word oiangelizo, where we get the word to preach the gospel, or the noun, which is oiangelion, the gospel itself, that gospel message. And so it's the message that's being given. And what is that message? It's the message of good news that your king has conquered your foe. So we'll see a direct connection and correlation between this chapter and, of course, Isaiah chapter 40, where you're giving comfort to the people through this preached word, that this battle is now over, the victory is won in the incarnation.
What is the immediate context for Isaiah? I mean, Isaiah is a big book. It's got a lot of different oracles of God spoken both to and against various nations, including God's people. What's the context where we find these particular words? How beautiful are the feet?
Well, the historical context, of course, in this second portion of Isaiah, that's where you begin with chapter 40, is this will be given to Isaiah to proclaim before they go into exile, but once they end up in exile, then they will hear these words loud and clear. And so that's where chapter 40 opens up with, "Comfort, comfort, O my people, and say to Jerusalem that her iniquity has been pardoned, that this warfare is over." So that's how this whole second Isaiah, if you will, the second volume of Isaiah, that is, opens up for those who have now found themselves in exile. Those first 39 chapters, Isaiah is warning them of this threat to come, that the Babylonians would overthrow the king in Jerusalem, that the temple will be toppled, and all these things will take place just like Isaiah says. And so once it happens, then they're in Babylon, and then they can take comfort in these words that are preached to them. This is the good news, that you see yourselves in captivity, yet you know that your God still reigns. He is still King of Kings.
The preaching of the good news here is going to be the preaching of Christ. So we can assume here, your God reigns refers to the God who is found in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and again, when we're talking about this preached message, this proclaimed message, notice that this is how the truth and the reality is revealed to us, so that we would not know this in the physical realm, in what is revealed to us just in the natural realm, what we get from natural knowledge. This has to be revealed to us from above. This has to come from God. And so specifically, it is this message that your God reigns. Now, what's interesting about that is when you have this Hebrew that's taken into the Aramaic, these Aramaic targums in which they're trying to take this into the vernacular of the people in those times. And so later on, when they're waiting for the Messiah, after they have gone back to Jerusalem, rebuilt the city, and they're waiting for those days of Jesus, and they change this "your God reigns" to "revealed is the kingdom of your God." Now, this is important to understand, that that preaching is where this kingdom is revealed, and this kingdom of God is the kingdom that comes through Christ. Now, in particular, when Jesus will talk about the last days and the end times and the sending out of the apostles in Matthew chapter 24, he will say, "This gospel," that's again this oiangelion, where we get this Greek word from the Septuagint, "this gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world." So this is Jesus using that same language here from Isaiah 52, that this gospel, this good news, this news of the kingdom of God will be revealed when it is proclaimed to the nations. That's the Gentiles. Like we've talked about many times, this conversion of the Gentiles, those who had been in darkness, they did not have the oracles of God, they did not have God's word being preached to them, but now it will be proclaimed and their eyes will be opened through the preaching of this word, and they will be able to see the salvation of Yahweh.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk a little bit about the indications of the incarnation in these verses from Isaiah 52. He has bared his arm. Well, yes, he has. And it says, "For eye to eye, they see the return of the Lord in Zion." Someone we can actually lay our eyes on. We'll also talk about who the preachers of the good news, in fact, are in Isaiah's and our context. It's Christ in the Old Testament today, Isaiah 52, the Lord's coming salvation.
Emily finally had to face the truth. Her church choir was a mess.
Katie Schuerman from her new audiobook, House of Living Stones.
Sure, they'd managed to turn out a few decent choral offerings for Sunday worship every now and then, but their confidence and morale were presently hanging lower than pants on a wrapper.
You can purchase and download an audio version of the novel House of Living Stones at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. House of Living Stones by Katie Schuerman.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Give the gift of a clean home this Christmas with the gift certificate from the Cleaning Authority. Gift certificates can be purchased for as little as $75 for a partial clean. Go to gifts.thecleaningauthority.com, enter your contact information, and choose the amount. Give the gift of time for a loved one with a Christmas gift certificate from the Cleaning Authority. Gifts.thecleaningauthority.com. Gifts.thecleaningauthority.com.
Come listen to Drs. Alvin Schmidt and Roland Elke at the 3rd Annual Concordia Apologetics Conference, Cultures in Collision, Faith and a Fractured World, this March 3rd and 4th at Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can register online at www.cuw.edu/apologetics or call 262-243-4343. That's the Concordia Apologetics Conference, March 3rd and 4th at Concordia University, Wisconsin.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. IssuesETC.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. Our series is Christ in the Old Testament. Brian, let's talk about, first of all, it's hard to avoid the incarnation in these passages, even though this is about those who bring the good news and the preachers of the gospel, which we'll be talking about here in a moment. They are heralding the actual appearance. He says, eye to eye, they see the return of the Lord to Zion. And then even a little bit later talks about he has bared his arm. Are these indications of how God comes in the incarnation in Christ?
Yeah, exactly, that this is when God acts. And so you use this language of the holy arm of Yahweh, the holy arm of God. That's the acting of God, this power of God in the strength to defeat the foe, of course, the foe being the devil, that he will come and he will deliver with this outstretched arm. And so it will be seen, and when the apostles see these things, they go out as eyewitnesses to the marvelous work of the Lord, what they have seen with their own eyes. They then testify to this. They proclaim this in this incarnational language, that God himself will take upon flesh and you will behold him. When you see Jesus, you see the Father. Now, when the eyes of the apostles see this, this is the vision of God, what God wants us to see, what God reveals, he then takes that into his word that is proclaimed through their mouth. And then he gives to us ears that can see, so that we see what God reveals to us in Christ when we hear the word that is preached and proclaimed. And then we, too, can see the salvation of the Lord. You'll get that whole language later on, of course, in the New Testament with Simeon, when he sees the Christ child, when the Christ child goes to the temple, that he has seen Yahweh's salvation, and he holds the Christ child in his own arms. And so this whole language of seeing is the language of being made known, that the people would see with their eyes, but then when this preaching goes out, we would see with our ears. And so even when Paul will talk about this preaching, how can one believe unless someone hears, and how can one hear unless someone is preaching, and how can someone preach unless he's sent? Well, he does this in Romans chapter 10, where he quotes these passages here from Isaiah 52 about how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, and then he also quotes from the very beginning of Isaiah 53, who has heard and who has believed this message when the arm of Yahweh has been revealed. Because even when Yahweh was revealed in the person and work of Christ who comes in the flesh, yet he was rejected. It's this word that was rejected from the beginning. It was rejected in the incarnation, and it continues to be rejected in the preaching now when those who hear refuse this, resist it, and resist the work of the Holy Spirit.
Now, who are the preachers in Isaiah's context, and who are they today?
Yeah, so the preachers, of course, are the ones who have been sent by God to proclaim what they have seen. Now, we've used this language before, that they are prophets or seers. They are seers. They see what Yahweh wants them to see, and then when they proclaim it, others too can see it. So they're eyewitnesses, and then we become ear witnesses. So these watchmen, this is the language of a watchman who stands and he watches. He is looking for the Lord to act. He is seeing what the Lord gives him to see, and then he calls it out and proclaims it to the others. So in the days of Isaiah, you have Isaiah the prophet, you have other prophets like Jeremiah, who are proclaiming the things that the Lord is doing right there in their own time and what the Lord will do ultimately in the incarnation. And these are the ones who have feet to proclaim this message. They're messengers. They run with the message. So you have it in Isaiah's day, Isaiah and the other prophets, and of course you have it in the days of Jesus when he sends out the apostles. And make no mistake, on that night when Jesus is betrayed by his own disciple, Judas Iscariot, it is on this night where he's washing their feet. He's purifying them. He's making them ready to go out with the message, to run as runners with the message, to proclaim. And this is what Paul's talking about with how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Well, in Paul's days, it's the apostles and the successors of the apostles, those who have been placed into this preaching office up into our own day. So now the current pastors themselves who have been placed in this office by God are the ones who have this feet, the feet that proclaim the message of peace. They're the ones who are publishing this. They are preaching it. So these are the apostles and their successors in particular when we're talking about the times of the New Testament and in our own day.
Who are they preaching to?
Well, the hearers, of course, are those who are gathered by God to hear this message, so that the hearers are the ones who become these ear witnesses. These are the ones that, again, as Paul says in Romans 10, faith comes through hearing the preached word. Now, in these passages in Isaiah, you see this direct connection with what's taking place back in Isaiah 51, where you have the petition of God's people, and God's people are petitioning the arm of the Lord. That is the second person of the Holy Trinity, to say, awake and act. So they're petitioning him in Isaiah 51, and then now you have this proclaimed message to those people, to the people who hear this message, that they are now to awake and put on strength. So you have kind of this back and forth call response, that the people hear God's word, God hears the petitions of his people, and then God speaks to his people and the people rejoice, going back and forth. So the people who hear are the people God has gathered. He is assembled for action, so that God himself is acting, and he begins this whole chapter by saying, awake, awake, and put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. So here God is speaking to the people. before they were kind of sleeping. Their eyes weren't open. They didn't know what was going on. But that's why the prophets are sent out. The prophets see, and then they open the eyes of the blind, those who are physically blind, and the miracles of Jesus showing the restoration of creation, and those who are spiritually blind through the work of the Holy Spirit in this preached word, so that these eyes are awakened, and now they can see. And specifically in this chapter, not only is it just this abstract concept of hearers, but then we get into more particular, once again, to the conversion of the Gentiles, those who have been asleep for quite some time. They didn't have eyes that were open at all. They were in a slumber by the devil. So it's the kingdoms of the earth. So you'll see in this chapter specifically that when Yahweh bears his holy arm, it's revealed before the eyes of all the nations. And to the ends of the earth, they're the ones who shall see the salvation of our God. And he's the one who will redeem them. And he does this through his blood. So in Isaiah 52, it's sprinkling many nations with this blood, that the king shall shut their mouths because of him, so they stop speaking to hear him speak, because they had not been told this before, but now they will see, here in Isaiah 52. So he is going to redeem them without price, and of course that's with his own holy precious blood without silver or gold.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. Our series is Christ in the Old Testament. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 52. There are a couple things he says there. The Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. They're kind of in parallel there. Comfort is a big theme in Isaiah's book, especially right around this time of the year when we're hearing those words, comfort, comfort ye my people. We'll talk about the comfort and the redemption in Isaiah 52 with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer after this.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Thank you for donating more than $100,000 to Issues Etc. in the past month. And with 2 weeks left in 2016, we're $18,000 short of expenses. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. at the end of the year.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School of Edwardsville, Illinois presents Journey to the Manger, an interactive Christmas experience.
Bring your family and friends to experience a wonderful reenactment of the Christmas story.
There will be live music and a cookie sale.
Journey to the Manger is from 5 to 8 p.m. on December 23rd. Allow yourself at least 30 minutes to make your way through the entire Christmas story.
Free will donations of $25 or more will receive a free handcrafted gift.
Come to Journey to the Manger for an evening of fun, fellowship,
and the celebration of the true reason for the season.
For any questions, call 618-656-0043. Merry Christmas!
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.
Folks, according to our most recent financial report, we are approximately $18,000 short of 2016 expenses. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible contribution to Issues Etc. Remember, no gift is too small. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible contribution by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. Send it to Issues Etc. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind when you consider your year-end giving. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. Our series, Christ in the Old Testament, we're in Isaiah chapter 52. There are two things that the Lord is said to have done for his people there in, I think it's verse 9. He has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. That comfort is a big theme in Isaiah, isn't it?
It is, and that's where we begin with chapter 40. It's a comfort, comfort to my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. And so what is it that brings comfort? Well, specifically that the warfare is over and that, of course, the iniquity is pardoned. And this is precisely what Christ comes to do, is that he comes to take away sin. And so he redeems. And even in this chapter itself, it's talking about redeeming without price. Well, that redeeming without price, of course, is with the precious blood of Jesus, as 1 Peter will say, that it was not with gold or silver. So this passage itself is talking about how he's going to redeem for nothing, without money, but with blood. So these are the two things that he does in particular, is to bring comfort, that he brings salvation. Jesus, of course, name is the one who saves us from our sins. We cannot save ourselves from our own sins. And this whole idea of comforting, I understand that when you go from the Septuagint into the Greek New Testament, that the language of comforting is where we get this word paraclete, that not only is the Holy Spirit the paraclete, but Jesus himself is a paraclete, the comforter. So when Jesus talks about sending the other comforter, that's a second comforter. He's the one who is this paraclete, this advocate with us and the Father. So he's the one who stands as high priest. And when he's bringing the comfort and salvation, this is where we have the publishing of peace. For he is the Prince of Peace, just like in Isaiah chapter 9, when we're talking about this child that is born for us, the son that's given for us, that the peace that he brings, there will be no end. Now, of course, we know in Isaiah that there is no peace for the wicked, the Rashaim, that is the unrepentant unbeliever. But instead, it's the effects of righteousness will be peace. And as Paul will say in Romans 5, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So all of this is connected to this kind of kingdom that he brings, that he is bringing us out of sin, death, and this dominion of the devil.
Then the other thing that's mentioned here is that he's bared his holy arm. We talked about it a little bit before in terms of the incarnation, but I seem to remember that's also a way that occasionally in the Old Testament, the Exodus from Egypt is referred to, that salvation event of the Old Testament.
Yeah, exactly, because this is where you can see Yahweh acting. And so that deliverance that we have out of Egypt is a picture of the deliverance that we will have out of this spiritual darkness of the devil. So the tyranny of Pharaoh is a little small inkling picture of the tyranny of Satan himself, that all this oppression in sin will come to an end. And so that's that language of the arm. You'll see this language throughout it, and especially when you even connect it to Psalm 98, when you talk about how Yahweh has done these marvelous things. His holy arm has worked salvation in the sight of the nations. That's what happened in the Exodus, that first Exodus. Now we have this new Exodus, that this is done in the sight of the nations. And in Psalm 98, what does it tell us to do when we hear this? Well, we sing to Yahweh a new song. This is a new Exodus. This is a new deliverance from the oppression of the devil.
The singing of the good news is something that you wanted to talk about. It appears there break forth together into singing. What's it talking about?
Well, this is this proclamation, that this response that the people have. It's a conversation. God speaks his word to his people, and then his people in dialogue speak to each other and, of course, to God. And they proclaim what he has done. And again, as we've talked before, that's what real praise music is proclaiming the marvelous deeds and actions of God, the person and work of the Christ. And that, of course, is in the incarnation. That is giving up himself for our sins, the shedding of his blood to pay this redemption price. So this singing and rejoicing in what God is doing is a sacrifice of praise, a Eucharistic sacrifice of thanksgiving. But when we talk about this singing, this is this language of rejoicing. So we rejoice in the midst of suffering. Now, we are in this afflicted, corrupted creation where we're still here. We still have sin. We still have death. We still have sorrow and sickness and all these things that get us down here in the fallen creation. But yet in the midst of it, because we have this message of Christ, we can rejoice in our suffering. So this singing is not just singing the concepts of nothingness, but specifically singing about the Christ. So this is that new song, just like you have in Psalm 98. Well, in Isaiah 42, that was the beginning of these servant songs. Now, here in Isaiah 52, we're in the fourth servant song, but you have that first servant song back in Isaiah 42, where Yahweh says, "Behold my servant, the one whom my soul delights in, the one I uphold, my chosen one, I put my spirit upon him." And it's in Psalm 42 again, where you then sing to Yahweh a new song. And this is a song of joy. You'll see this in Isaiah 26, that you are going to sing for joy. And why in Isaiah 26 do you sing for joy? Because your dead shall live. You who dwell in the dust will awake and sing for joy. Well, that's the same language here in Isaiah 52. He says, "Awake, rise from the dust, and sing for joy," because you're singing what God has done. Break forth together into singing because you are redeemed. That's the same theme in Isaiah 26 as it is here in Isaiah 52, that the Lord has redeemed us from our sin. He has rescued us from the devil, and he's delivered us from death. So we sing this new song.
Finally, then, we've got about a minute here. How would you summarize these verses in Isaiah 52, what they show us of Christ in the Old Testament? About a minute.
Well, what they show us is the person and work of God, that God is the one who is doing this for us. Now, when we look around with our earthly eyes, we see these things in the earthly realm, and it does not seem like Yahweh is reigning. It doesn't seem like Christ is king by experience. But instead, we have this revealed knowledge from this apostolic preaching, from the prophetic writing, that our God does reign, that Christ is king now. He has ascended into heaven, and he reigns, and his kingdom continues to extend to the ends of the earth through the preaching of his word.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He's host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Brian, thank you so much for being our guest.
Great to be here, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss the incarnation of Jesus Christ and defending the Christian faith. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will be our guest. It's very important the Christ we are setting our hope in be the Christ that is the center of the Christian faith, to which we are called to give this defense. We'll talk about that with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. And an Issues Etc. Christmas tradition faces us tomorrow. We ask this question of our listeners every single year at this time as we go into the Christmas break. What is your favorite Christmas hymn and why? So if you've got a Christmas hymn on your mind from the past or from the present, and it's your favorite, tell us what it is and why. You can go to our website, issuesetc.org, actually to our Facebook page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and vote right there. We will be giving away some copies of a CD with 12 hymns featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir tomorrow on Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper every service every Sunday, preaching Christ crucified and risen, our hope for years to come. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is. 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.